Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to be picking up where we left off this morning. Jesus had been talking about prayer. One of the things that's often tied with prayer is fasting. You often hear and read in Scripture where people fast and pray. And what is the purpose of fasting, and how do we fast, and when do we fast, and what's the purpose? Why does God even mention fasting, and why does Jesus mention fasting? Well, like anything else, people can take something that God would have us do for good and kind of turn it on its head and cause it to really be used for self-exaltation and not for the purpose that God intended it for. I'd like to read this afternoon verses 16 through 18 as we look at what Jesus' teaching on fasting is. He says, "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, and wash thy face, that thou may appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Let's just bow in prayer. Father, I pray that you just speak to us through your word this afternoon and help us to see this principle that is running throughout the teaching that you've given to us in Matthew's gospel about the importance of seeking who we are trying to please. And Father, what is the purpose of the things that we do? Lord, speak to us through your word this afternoon and help us to understand these truths, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Pharisees were known for, as we said this morning, when they prayed, when they gave their offerings, when they did a lot of things, they wanted to be noticed by men. Their whole purpose was they wanted to be the righteous ones, and they wanted people to say, look at that righteous man going there. And it wasn't that they wanted people to be drawn to God. They wanted people to be drawn to them. They wanted a position of importance in the eyes of people. It's interesting, if you go to Israel today, you'll see Orthodox Jews, and they do much the same thing. They dress in a manner where you automatically know, oh, they're Orthodox because of the way they dress. The way that they act, things that they do. They take things that are given in Scripture for a purpose, a spiritual purpose, and they apply it to a physical means that draws onto themselves. For example, in the Old Testament, it talked about that you're supposed to take the word of the Lord and put it on your temples, and you're supposed to put it on your forehead, and you're supposed to, really what God is speaking about is you're supposed to take His word and make it such a part of your life that it's there. It's in your mind continually. And you live with it, and you walk according to His principles. It's not that you're to literally take it and put it into a little phylactery and hang it on you somewhere so that people can see that, oh, he's got a Bible verse in there. Or that you're supposed to dress in a manner that would draw attention to you, then people would say, well, he must be pretty holy because look at what he's doing. There are people that do that as well in the day in which we live. They have rules and regulations and such that they would dress in a manner that, well, look at, I'm very, very conservative in my dress because look at how I'm dressing. And it has nothing to do with the Scripture which says dress modestly. It doesn't say you have to be dressed strangely. And it doesn't say that, for example, you have groups of people that claim to be very religious, trying to think of the ones that drive the buggies all the time. Not the Hutterites, but the Amish people. And the Amish can only have certain colors, and it's pretty much limited to black and white. They can only dress in certain manner. And it's all based on about the customs of 1865 or something around there, because that's pretty much the way they were dressing back then. And I don't know what was so spiritual about that. The Scripture doesn't give us a specific dress code other than it tells us dress modestly. It tells us that men aren't supposed to dress as women and women aren't supposed to dress as men. In other words, there's not supposed to be cross-dressing. I just saw a picture of that in the one of the articles, news articles I was reading this last week, where a well-known rock star and his wife dressed in each other's clothing. And that's what the Bible's talking about that you don't do. It's not talking about that women can't wear slacks, or especially in our climate where you've got temperatures way below zero and it'd be very uncomfortable not to wear slacks. It has nothing to do with that. It's trying to appear like a man or trying to appear like a woman when you're the opposite. So we see that the scriptures tell us certain spiritual truths, but people take them to the extremes when they're not really seeking to do it to God's glory, but rather trying to draw attention to themselves or trying to earn favor with God by thinking they're doing something extraordinary. This is exactly what was happening with fasting. Now we see that fasting is something that is referred to in Scripture, and people would fast and pray. In the Old Testament, the people fasted and prayed. We know that they did take and put sackcloth and ashes, and they fasted and prayed when there was just a dire need that they had, and they wanted to just pour out their hearts to the Lord, and they wanted the Lord to know how serious they were with Him. And we see that that's in the Old Testament. I just want you to take a look at a few verses out of the New Testament that deal with fasting as well. And we'll take a look at some of these. Let's take a look at Acts chapter 27, verse 33. Acts chapter 27, verse 33. And we see here, oh dear. Did I get the wrong? Well, I'm going to have to skip that one. I must. Okay. Acts 27:33. Oh, I was looking at 13. Helps if I look at the right verse. I'm sorry. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, "This day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing." Now, what had transpired here that was going on? Well, this was the time that they were en route to Rome, and they were on a ship, and the ship was having real trouble, and it appeared that they were going to have a shipwreck, and they hadn't eaten for 14 days. What is fasting? Fasting is you're going without food. They'd gone without food for 14 days. Paul tells them it's important that you eat because you've been fasting for 14 days. The people that were with him, the majority of them were not believers. So this fasting wasn't being done as a matter of prayer, but it was a matter of their grave concern about their situation and that they just hadn't eaten. And Paul encourages them to take meat and eat. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians verse 11, chapter 11, verse 27. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27. Again, the Apostle Paul is writing here. And he says, "In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, because those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." Paul is talking here about situations and circumstances that he finds himself in. And he is caring for the churches. And as he goes about caring for the churches, he goes about ministering, as he goes around planting churches, these things happen to him. And part of it is there's a fasting that's occurring here. And part of the fasting, from the context of the verses, it's not a fasting that he may have chosen, but it's a fasting that has come about because of circumstance and situation where he doesn't have access to food. Some of it may be fastings where he is praying or interceding for churches, but these are circumstances that have come into his life as he's going about his duties. It's not that he's going about trying to get people to say, "Look at him, all these things happening to him," but he's saying, "No, these things happen because of the circumstances that I was in. I had to fast because of being thrown in prison, didn't have food. He had to fast when he was shipwrecked, they didn't have food. But when they got food, he said, take food and eat. So that's a circumstance for fasting, where there may be circumstances where you don't have the food. There's also fasting, where it talks about fasting because you're mourning. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 19, verses 14 through 15. Matthew chapter 19, verses 14 through 15. And here, read the account. And it says, Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me, forbid them not. I'm sorry, chapter 9. I can't read my own writing. Chapter 9, verses 14 through 15. Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast off, but thy disciples fast not? Okay, so this was a question. The Baptist disciples were fasting quite often. The Pharisees fasted a lot. But they were observing that Jesus' disciples didn't fast. And so they were wondering, why don't they fast? And Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and shall they fast? And so we see here that fasting, Jesus is speaking of fasting, due to mourning, because there's sorrow that's come, and so you may fast because of the sorrow. Go without food because of the sorrow. And he's specifically talking about the fact that he is still with his disciples, so why would they fast? But the day is coming where he shall be taken from them, and then there will come a time of mourning where they may fast. Now, there's a fasting that's used for prayer as well, and we're going to take a look at what the scriptures say about that. Turn with me to Luke chapter 2, Luke chapter 2, verse 37, Luke 2:37. And this is speaking of a widow, and it says here, and she was a widow of about 84 years, 84 years she'd been a widow, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers day, night and day. And now this is speaking of the widow that would be seeing Jesus, and she'd been there praising the Lord and working ever since she became a widow in the temple. And as part of her worship, she incorporated fasting and prayer. And part of the fasting and prayer that she incorporated was a desire to see the Messiah. And so we see that fasting was a part of her prayer life that she'd incorporated. We also know that she didn't fast for 84 years, or she would have been dead long ago. So it was periods of fasting, but it wasn't continual fasting. And we know that the scriptures tell us that we're not to continually fast, because it would be impossible. We'd be in ill health because we need food. But there is a period of fasting and prayer, and she did this so that she might see the Messiah. Now, if you turn with me to Acts chapter 4, verse 23. Acts chapter 4, verse 23. And again, we find a situation of fasting and prayer. Acts chapter 4, verse 23. And being let go, they went on their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, the Lord, thou art God, which hast made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that are in it, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done, And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, and the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God in boldness. And it was talking about here an attitude of prayer and fasting that had been initiated as they came and were faced with a very difficult situation. They were faced with a culture much like ours, which was totally against them. The Roman culture was doing everything it could to squash Christianity. You had a religious system that was against them. The Jewish religious system was trying to squash Christianity. And they went to the Lord, and they fasted and prayed, and they asked God. And it's interesting to see the format that they prayed, very similar to what Jesus talked about. They first called and acknowledged God as their creator and as their redeemer and as the one that was all the all-powerful one, the one that was in control of all things. And then they asked him for his help, that he could use them and he would give them the ability and the power to be bold and to proclaim the truth in the face of all this adversity and the face of all of this coming against them, trying to silence them, and that they would be bold and effective in their witness. And God did this. And we see that you can go to the book of Acts and you can see that he answered their prayers. He used them powerfully. His spirit did come upon them. And they were able to do great and mighty things in the name of Christ. And it began with prayer and fasting and asking God for help. So what is the purpose of fasting? Does fasting get us a special audience with God? Well, no, the scriptures tell us that isn't true. Because if you went to Hebrews, it tells us that everyone who's a believer in Christ can boldly come into the throne room of God. It doesn't say only those who fast can boldly come into the throne room of God. It says every believer in Jesus can come boldly into the throne room of God. It also, the scriptures tell us, as I mentioned this morning, that our prayers are, the prayers of the saints are a sweet incense to heaven. So it doesn't say only the prayer of fasting saints are sweet incense. It says all the prayers of the saints. So what is the purpose of fasting? Well, one of the things that fasting does is it causes you to focus in on what your thoughts are. Because a lot of times, I don't know about you, but it seems like whenever I want to really get serious and pray, that's the times I really get tired. My mind gets dull, and it seems like it's really hard to pray. Why is that? I believe that part of it is that Satan doesn't want us to pray. Why? He knows that the scriptures tell us the effective and fervent prayers of a righteous man avail much. In other words, it's important that we pray. And we pray for one another. We pray for situations. We pray for circumstances. We pray that the Lord's will be done. We pray that God's name will be exalted. That those are our prayers. One of the things that fasting does is it does, if we fast for a period of time, depending on your physical condition, some people can't fast for long times because of physical needs. But the thing is, if we go without food for a period of time, our senses can be heightened and our mind, if you've ever sat down and had, after you've had Thanksgiving dinner or supper, you sit down, your mind isn't real functional. At least mine isn't, because I'm full. I'm really tired. But if I haven't eaten for a while, my senses are sharpened a little bit. My mind is a little clearer. And that is one of the purposes of fasting. But fasting isn't to be done so that everybody can say, oh, look at, he's fasting this week, or he's fasting today. No, that's what the Pharisees did. And Jesus said that they got their reward. Their reward was everybody saying, oh, look at, that guy's fasting, that guy's fasting, that woman's fasting over there. No, we're not to be doing it for the purpose of being seen, because that's not the purpose. The purpose is so that we be more effective, more focused in our prayer, and more attentive to where God is leading us to pray for. and that we would pray more effectively. And that's exactly what we see the disciples did in the account that we read in Acts. They had a real issue, and it was a really significant issue that was coming right before them. And so they went to prayer, and they fasted, and they went to prayer because they wanted to focus totally on that issue. What was the issue? That they would be bold, that God's name would go forward, that the gospel would go out, that they would not be silenced, and that God would stand against their enemies, enabling them to go in much power and authority that people could be saved. A tremendous thing. And so this is the purpose of fasting. Now, if you go back to the text today, you see that Jesus said, "Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast." So how do you fast? You fast so that people don't know you're fasting. In other words, you get up and you dress yourself with clothes, you clean yourself up, you look like you would any other day. Nothing should appear different in your countenance because you're fasting. And it's between you and God, not between you and men. And he says that is the proper way, but that's not the way the Pharisees did. "But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head." In other words, make your hair look the way it is. Don't look like I do when I get up in the morning and am terrible and haven't combed my hair or done anything. He says, "Anoint thy head, make yourself look good." And then he says, "And wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret." Now I want you to see the second thing that we learned from the lesson this morning, and our prayers aren't done for the purpose of men. Our fasting isn't done for the purpose of men. Our prayers and our fasting are done between us and God. And we go before the Lord with our prayers. We go before the Lord when we fast, we may be more focused on what we are praying, and it should be for Him and Him alone, not for men. And the purpose will be seen of God, and it says here, "And the Lord, the Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. In other words, the affection and fervent prayers of a righteous man will avail much. The prayers will be seen and they'll be answered where all men can see the answer to prayers. If you read E.M. Bounds' book on prayer, or you read Rhys Howell's when he talks about prayer, or you read other men, George Mueller or others, that had a strong prayer life. Their prayer life was never concerned about God, never concerned about men, but it was concerned about God. And the results were that God could be glorified in answering their prayers. Do we desire that God is glorified in answering our prayers? The things that we pray for, is it really the number one purpose is that God could be glorified, that His name exalted, that His purpose is accomplished, and that the gospel go forward. When we pray, not to be centered on us. And even when it may be things that we need, say, "Lord, may I have this, that you may receive the glory, not me." And I look at even some of the Old Testament saints in their prayers. Hannah, for example, and when she prayed for a child, she wanted a child dearly because that was a sign of blessing of God on your life. But yet she said, "It's not just for me, it's for you, Lord, that you can be glorified because my womb has been, I haven't been able to bear a child, but if I can bear one, it's because of what you've done for me, and I'll dedicate this child to you," which you did. And so that is to be our attitude. Secret, not openly. Fasting and prayer, the purpose, coming before the Lord that we may accomplish what He would have us accomplish and that He may answer our prayers to bring glory to His name and that it may be seen, the answer may be seen by all men. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand this, apply these truths to our life. Lord, help us to understand fasting and prayer. A lot is not done very often in many churches today. But Lord, help us to become a people who would desire to do this. Go with us now and help us to honor and glorify you in all that we say and do. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen.